Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You know, a long time ago, I had a segment on the B&B show every week for baseball season called Niblet's Tidbits. And the man who ran that segment was this man right here, Kyle Niblet, who, of course, was Mississippi State Sports Desk Information Director for a number of sports, but most importantly for baseball when they were really at their peak under John Cohen. And he is now down working at the University of Florida, which is his alma mater. And I decided I need to know more about this Florida baseball team. I'm not going to waste my time with some beat writer or some fan site guy. I'm going straight to the source. Welcome, Kyle Niblet, back to the podcast. What's going on, man?
Not much, brother. It's such a pleasure to be here, man. Such a pleasure to be here. I miss you guys. Uh-huh. Been keeping up with Mississippi State. Saw they made the basketball tournament. That was pretty cool, man. Chris Jan's got it going on. And now it seems like Mississippi State baseball, after a couple of years, they're back, man. And Florida fans are kind of nervous about this weekend because of it.
Really? So just quick, I'm looking behind you. A lot of, I see your degree. I see some memorabilia. Is the picture there?
The picture is actually on the right side that this camera's mounted. So
okay,
forever.
Yes.
Forever.
Very good. So for those of you who don't know, me, Logan Lowry, Joel Coleman, Robbie Falk, we chipped in. I mean, when we say chipped in, it was like $10 a piece, but whatever. But but we got Kyle a photograph of us, but we were photoshopped as the Four Horsemen with Kyle as J.J. Dillon, as the ringleader of the group, which he was.
He's got more hair than I do.
He did. Back then, maybe. Not now. So good times. All right, I got a question to start us off. Why is Florida the worst midweek team in the SEC?
You know, that's a loaded question. We haven't won a midweek game since February 28th against Bethune-Cookman College. Oof. Right? So yeah. We've lost four straight. And a lot of people down here are like, but the national championship team in 2017, they only went 8-5 in the midweeks. Listen, this is not a national championship caliber team we have in Gainesville this year. The reason, to answer your question, is solely when he evaluates his pitching staff and things like that, he brought in this many transfers on the mound, and he brought in about 9 or 10 true freshmen. So this entire year, we've just been throwing freshman after freshman after freshman in the midweek, give or take a couple of our quality bullpen arms. But it's just been it's been growing pains, quite frankly. You have an ERA that's worst in the country. We're 155th, I think, nationally in walks per nine innings. When you look at our walks and hits allowed per inning, we're behind teams like Jackson State and Abilene Christian. Ooh. But, you know, they had the stuff. The freshmen had the stuff. We're 11th nationally in strikeouts per nine innings. But it's really about control and executing the pitch. Like against Florida State on Tuesday, Sully called for two fastballs in the outside corner. We left him in. Next thing you know, we're giving up 14 runs to FSU, which quite frankly just makes me gag. But it's been a rough start with the pitching staff. You know, our starters, I can get into that if you want me to, but the bullpen is definitely a weakness, with the exception of our closer, Brandon Neely. Brandon Neely is one of the best closers in America, quite frankly. He has the mentality that a Jonathan Holder might have. You know, he's gone 8 consecutive innings without giving up a run. He's got 13 strikeouts and 2 walks over that, and hitters are only hitting, I think, .080 off of him. So if we can get to the closer, that's great. But the problem is between our starter and our closer, we don't have that bridge. We don't have that bridge.
It's interesting you refer to him as the best one of the best closers in the SEC. We just got the email from the SEC for this weekend's rotations. He's your Friday night starter, is Brandon Neely.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's fabulous. I wish I could go back and hit you with all the different notes. But I think one of the reasons for that is you look at our starters, and you know, we've played, you know, we're over halfway through the season, about halfway through the season. And, you know, we lost on Tuesday to Florida State, and Sully said we're gonna change things up. And one of the things that I've been personally pitching for in my group of friends that talk about Gator baseball religiously is putting Neely in that Friday night spot. You look at our quality starts, and we've only had 3 quality starts all season, and they're from our Sunday guy. What team in America, their best pitcher throws on Sunday? It has to be only Florida. So I really like the idea of putting Neely as the Friday night starter. And hopefully, you know, he can extend. He was a starter a couple of years ago when he was a freshman. And so he can go four or five innings, and then you can kind of have a Fisher Jameson or a Ryan Slater come on. And then we have this freshman that kind of grew up against Texas A&M when he was forced to come in and get the save because Neely's bicep was kind of hurt. His name's Luke McNeely. So I would expect him now. He's number nine. He's a true freshman. He's a right-hander, throws up to 95, 96. A lot of arm side run. I would expect him to come in and be the closer with Neely moving to a Friday night role. Now, do you still have Liam Peterson as the Saturday starter? I haven't seen that.
Liam Peterson as the Saturday, and then, of course, Jack Caglione on Sunday.
Okay.
You should put your SID hat back on for a second.
Yeah, of course.
What would you be doing with a both-handed pitcher?
Both-handed pitcher?
Yeah, with Gerangelo Sinjay, a guy who throws with both hands.
Create a bobblehead doll, but instead of the head bobbling, it would be both arms bobbling. And then I would mail that out to anybody that votes for said awards. But man, yeah, you know what? I've heard about this kid. I've watched him pitch.
Yeah.
The fact that he can pump, you know, 94, 95, I think, from both sides. Like, I'm so excited. And
like he's 96, 97 now from the right. Wow. And then the left is a little lower. He's like usually 91, 92, but he's still able to spin it there.
And he's still going on Sunday? Is he scheduled for Sunday?
No, State moved up. So State's throwing Steven on – I know, right? State's throwing Steven on Friday, Gerangelo on Saturday, and then TBA. Our old friend, TBA.
Oh, TBA. I used to take the old Monday Night Raw smoke and mirrors TBA thing and put him in the graphics for Mississippi State as a nod to my wrestling fandom.
Yes.
But I was really hoping to get Durangelo versus Caglione on Sunday, but it looks like we're getting Peterson Durangelo on Saturday.
Yeah. So, and we'll see who State pulls out on Sunday, if Nate Dome can come back for that, or if they're going to go bullpen. I don't know what they're going to do there. Maybe it may end up just being Sierra the way it's been the past few Fridays. So we'll see. Caglione, is that the best player in college baseball?
I don't know if I would say he's the best player. Mm-hmm. I would say he's the most valuable to a single team. If he did not exist, you know, we don't win at LSU. We don't take the series against Texas A&M. We don't take the series against Miami. And all of a sudden, you know, combine that with our midweek schedule and we're not in the top 25. We're not in the discussion to host. So he's the most valuable player, certainly, when you think about what he brings. Like, he's the only guy on our team that has a quality start. He has three of them this year. You know, he's 3-0 with a 1.65 ERA. Opponents are hitting 110 off of him. He's got three quality starts. And then, oh, by the way, he has 12 home runs. But, you know, I don't know if he's the best player, but he's the most valuable. And I would definitely say, without a shadow of a doubt, he's the best two-way player. And I think he's better than the McKay kid from Louisville that the Rays drafted a few years ago. I have Brad Wilkerson over my shoulder, who is the best two-way player in Florida history. And he's better than that. So, but yeah, absolutely.
What about, as far as two-way players go, Brent Rooker, who threw, I believe, one inning?
Oh, Brent Rooker, man, you want to talk about two-way players. How about Logan Cook, who threw a fastball one time and then punts for the Jaguars?
There you go. Mangum could count, too. He pitched a couple of games.
It's so awesome to see the success of those 2016 guys. I think there's four guys on opening day rosters. There's five guys nipping at the buds to be on those opening day rosters.
This is Mangum's year.
Mangum gets called up to Tampa, I'm going down.
So you're a Rays guy. Yeah, I just thought about that. Yeah. So that's
I was pretty excited that he got traded to Tampa.
When he does that, you and Bob need to go and just make it like the old times. Just get you need to get press passes to be out. Mangum will make it happen for you.
The mayor can make anything happen.
It's true. When you look at the SEC for baseball this season, you know, I feel like Florida, they're not the best team. Arkansas is the best team. And I don't know.
Their pitching staff's ridiculous.
I don't know that they're the second or third best team, but they're dangerous every week. Is that a way to describe this Florida team? They are capable of beating everybody in the conference.
Absolutely. You know, I would say they're capable of beating anyone in the conference. And with the exception of Missouri, I think they're capable of losing a series to anybody in the conference. You look at their last 16 series, they've only dropped two of them. They're 14-2 in their last 16 SEC series. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why that is we live by the long ball. We're sixth in the country in home runs per game. You look at, you know, our 1 through 6 in the order, They all have an OPS over 855. There's four guys with an OPS over 1,000. To me, it's one of the best 1 through 6 in America. And then you get down to our 7, 8, 9. They're hitting about 200 around the Mendoza line, and they're automatic outs pretty much. So if Mississippi State can get into a tight game and get into the ninth inning with 7, 8, 9 coming up, they should like their chances. But the daunting fact is trying to get through that 1 through 6. But again, you know, none of our starting pitchers, with the exception of Caglione, seems to be able to go past 3 or 4 innings. So Neely has his work cut out for him this Friday night. But you're right, the talent level is there, and these freshman arms, you know, Sully knows what he's doing from a pitching perspective. He's shown that. He arrived in 2008. He has the best winning percentage in conference games since that span, I think 618, 61.8%. He knows what he's doing on the mound. And those freshman arms are only going to evolve and mature and get better as we grow into April, as we get into May, as we go to Hoover, as we host regionals, hopefully. But right now, it's kind of a toss-up. It's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get with this team except on Sunday.
When you look back at that 2016 team, Kyle, and they were kind of similar in some ways. I don't think that team that team was a lot more talented top to bottom than this current Mississippi State team. But they got off to a really slow start non-conference. They lost some games they probably shouldn't have lost. But then they started out conference play, same thing. They were playing the number two team in the nation in Vanderbilt. State played the number two team this year in LSU. That game was
Brown versus Beatty.
Yeah, that game was those games were in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, that was the year after, my bad.
You're thinking of 14, I think. They get 2 out of 3 from them. They can take 2 out of 3 from Georgia. They took 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss. And even then, because the way they had played in the non-conference, there was like, well, they're good, but they're not great. Then they went down to Florida and got 2 out of 3 from the number one team in the nation at that time. And that was when the season kind of took off. Now, as we were just talking about on the podcast, they ended up getting swept by A&M, but they finished the year, I think, 13-2 in the last 5 series, which is just an incredible feat. For you, with this Mississippi State team, from what you've seen, and from this Florida team, if State wins this series this weekend, how much should Mississippi State fans take away from that? Should they be at that point fully bought into this baseball team being, I haven't used this word, but being back?
I hate the term being back. But you know, if Mississippi State was able to come down here, it's certainly not the Florida juggernaut that was here last year. You know, we replaced our entire left side of the infield. Wyatt Langford, who's on an opening day roster, was playing for us 249 days ago in the College World Series. He's not in left field for us. But it certainly is an accomplishment. I mean, you look at Florida's resume on the weekends, you know, win at Miami, win at LSU, home against Texas A&M, who I think is one of the top 10 teams in the country. If Mississippi State comes in here and takes 2 or 3 or sweeps, that's an accomplishment. I mean, you can't take that away from anybody, especially that'll give them series wins against LSU and Florida, and, you know, Florida on the road. And, you know, it's not Duty Noble. It's not, you know, the box or anything, but just going to Florida, you know, that's an 8-hour bus ride. That's a 5-hour flight. That's not easy. You know, the fans aren't going to be on you like they would in the SEC West baseball stadium. But it's not easy. So, you know what? I think it would be definitely an accomplishment. I think it would be looked more favorably in May when seeding time comes, because the Florida you're getting now is going to be a completely different Florida come mid-May, like when we're playing our last weekend against Kentucky or we're heading to Hoover. I think if you can get that series win now, it's going to mean a lot to the committee and the selection committee come the end of May.
All right, last question. I'm going to put you on a 2-minute timer, because I know if I didn't, we would be here the rest of the day. And we're a week early on this. Does Cody finish the story this weekend?
Well, listen, man.
Or next week. Know,
I've been talking to people from Singapore to Baltimore, Sudan to Japan. And let me tell you something, my man. I texted this to you last year.
Yeah.
Last year, WrestleMania ended.
Yeah.
And Brian Haydad said, what's going to happen? And I said, they're going one-on-one next year. And you can get your book out. You can flip to the end. Because my man Cody is going to finish the story. And boy, let me tell you, you can put all the blood on the Mama Rhodes belt. You can smack your hands like this. You can acknowledge whoever you want. But come Sunday, April 7th, the story is being finished, and the American nightmare and the home of freedom, Philadelphia, is going to turn into an American dream, baby.
Yes. Well, you're way under on that one. We got time for a run-in at that point. We had time. So watch out. Kyle, I cannot stress how good it is to see you. Enjoy baseball this week, and hopefully not enjoying it too much now that you're a Florida guy, but good to see you, buddy. And WrestleMania, we will definitely be texting back and forth again. I miss the parties. I miss the watch party at the house, man. It's just every year now. It's like, where are we meeting? It's always a different place. And it used to just be, we're going to Kyle's.
Yeah,
so it's just easy. So,
well, for the sake of both of us, let's just hope that Morris Hodge and Jeff Head aren't umpiring this weekend.
Let's hope for that. Kyle Niblett, everybody, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Take care. God bless.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.